It's so good to be in this training because we're under the infusion of the triune God. We're constantly hearing the words of the truth, the words of the faith, and being infused. Even the last session on speaking for God, it was awesome to hear everyone's portion because the riches of Christ was manifested. And so today, this morning still, right? We're on message 5 on page 47 on living a fruit-bearing life. Let's all read the title together. Bearing fruit by contacting people correctly, personally, and continually. Bearing fruit by contacting people directly, personally, and continually. That's how I like to think it. It's directly, personally, and continually. And so before I get into the outline, I'd just like to share something. So the first three Gospels, right, is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Lord Jesus charges his disciples to preach the gospel, to teach the nations, and to baptize them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How about when I say these three things, I get an amen?
Amen.
So preach the gospel.
Amen.
Teach the truth.
Amen.
Baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. But, however, in the Gospel of John, and especially in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus does not charge his disciples in this way. It's interesting. Actually, the Lord Jesus reveals to his disciples in John chapter 15 the secret of life.
Amen.
Circle that and write that down. John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus reveals the secret of life. And this life is so mysterious, so abstract, that in John chapter 15, we see a symbol that is used. And we've heard this symbol this week. And it's the vine and the branches. The vine and the branches. And so we're going to read two verses. How about I have two brothers? You two brothers here. You come and help me read these verses. You two. So you're going to hold the 8-pounder. Just come up, you're going to hold this. So you're going to read John. We're going to read John chapter 15, verse 5. And then you, brother, you're going to read John 15, 16. And so read it with an exercise spirit and a release spirit, okay? 5.
John chapter 15, verse 5.
Amen.
I am the vine.
Amen.
You are the branches.
Amen.
He who abides in me.
Okay, stop there. He who abides. Circle abides. Everyone circle abides. He who abides, yeah, continue.
And I in him.
Amen.
He bears much fruit.
Amen. Stop there. Much fruit. Everyone circle much fruit in your Bible or on your paper, wherever you have. Circle much fruit.
For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Okay, now you read 16.
My voice isn't that loud, but I'll try.
Okay.
You did not choose me.
That's
but
right.
I chose you.
Amen.
And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit.
Amen. Amen. Stop there. Circle, bear fruit. Bear fruit, okay?
And that your fruit should remain.
Amen. And that's it. That's it. Circle that. Your fruit should remain. Fruit should remain. That's the last thing you circle. Okay. So we have these four words here. We have abide. How about we all say them together? Abide.
Abide.
But before, they're going to say in a different order. Abide.
Bear fruit.
Much fruit.
Fruit should remain.
Again, abide.
Abide.
Bear fruit.
Bear fruit.
Much fruit.
Much fruit.
Fruit should remain.
Fruit should remain. Hallelujah.
And so we're going to go through, what does it mean to abide? Okay, so we've been hearing this this week, that simply to abide is to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And so it also means to have morning revival. We just had morning revival. And that's how we abide. And so I have a few verses here, two verses, that would just get into this matter of morning revival. So the first one is Proverbs 4:18. It says, "But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day."
Amen.
And listen to this footnote. It says, "The light of dawn, the sunrise, signifies Christ in his coming. This figure may also signify our being revived every morning. The Christian life is like the dawning of the sun, S-U-N, the dawning of the sun. As Christians, we should follow the sun, S-U-N, to be revived and to have a new beginning every morning. Then we should continue to rise and shine brighter and brighter until the full day.
Amen.
Let's all sing that song that we learned from Mark. Go to the Lord and come to Him. O Lord, have mercy on me. Go to the Lord and confess our fruitlessness to His shine. We'll shine, we'll shine, we'll shine. Heavenly radiation. Shining attracts the people and makes us fruit-bearing ones. Okay, the other verse is Lamentations 3:22b to 23. It says, for His compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. This indicates that Jeremiah contacted the Lord as the compassionate one every morning. It was through his contact with the Lord that he received this word regarding God's loving kindness, compassions, and faithfulness. Without him having morning revival, he could not have received these words and couldn't have written this verse about loving kindness, compassions, and faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May we stay in the abiding moment by moment and day by day.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to share a little testimony regarding this matter of bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit should remain. And so this is a testimony from a dear brother, a very close brother to me. He grew up Catholic, right? And he did not know the Bible because he was told that if he would read the Bible, he wouldn't understand. That's what the priest told him and everybody else in the Catholic religion and Catholicism. And so he went all his life not knowing the Bible. Then he came to this country and he moved to California and he started working as a welder. And the first person he meets is a brother in his job. A co-worker. It's not a brother in the church life, but a brother in the denominations. And this brother gives him a King James Bible as a gift. And so he didn't want to be mean. And so he was like, okay, I'll receive this Bible. And he took it. And so, but immediately when he got home, what he did was he put this Bible in his closet on the top shelf. And he left it there. And he was like, I won't understand this. I'll never understand this. And so he put it on the top shelf. And then months go by. And he goes into the closet because he needs to get his children's clothes to go to the laundromat and to wash the clothes. And so he sees the Bible on the top shelf. And then he gets it, he's stirred up and the Lord speaks to him to grab the Bible. And so he grabs the Bible and he goes to the laundromat. And as the clothes are being washed, he's sitting down there and he opens the Bible up and he turns to Mark 16:16. Which says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
But if he who does not believe shall be condemned. And so in his his testimony, he's, wait, I do believe, but I was baptized as an infant. And he's there and he's confused and he does not understand what the word is telling him. And at that very moment, two brothers at the age of 19, and they were twins, they come and approach him. And he's sitting down reading the Bible, and he looks up, because they introduce themselves, and they say hello. He looks to his right, he sees one, looks to his left, sees the same person. And he's like, and he's shocked, he's like, what are you doing? And they enter into his situation, because he's not fully realizing what Mark 16:16 is talking about. And they start to explain to him, at the age of 19, some of you are, who's 19 years old here? Wow, there's a lot of you guys. At the age of 19, they start telling him about expounding this verse to him. And immediately, he received revelation. He told him, okay, I believe now. Baptize me in that pool. These two brothers, they were shocked. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. This probably was their first experience of preaching the gospel. And they said, no, brother, no. And he's like, okay, if you're scared, baptize me in that sink. If you don't want to get in the pool, put my head in the sink. Do something. I believe. I want to be baptized. And again, they quickly said, no. We'll take you to a home nearby. And so they end up going into a home where some saints were there, and he gets baptized and receives the Lord.
Amen.
And so that day, they bore a fruit. But guess what? 3 months later, his wife comes into church life. And she comes in through the singing of songs. So there, immediately this brother opens his house to the Lord and to the saints and invites the saints over. And they're in the living room singing hymns, singing the songs, rejoicing. And his wife is in her room. And she's like, I don't want to participate in this. But she's in the room and she's hearing these songs over and over again. 3 months pass and she comes out. And she also receives the Lord.
Amen.
And so that's, what is that? That's much fruit. But guess what happens? The kids are now growing up in the church life. And now they're also experiencing the Lord. And now they are also in the church life. So the whole family, the family of five, is in the church life. So that's bearing fruit, much fruit, and the fruit to this day are remained because they're still here. They're still in the church life. Isn't that awesome? And so we never know when we're speaking to people and we're speaking to those around us, our classmates, yes, we're bearing fruit. We're talking to them. We have the assurance and the faith that these ones will be saved. And we speak to them. Okay, it's just them. We just think, oh, it's just this person. It's just, Matt. I'm just saving Matt. He's coming into. But actually, when you save a person, you can save their whole household. And so you can bear much fruit. Isn't that awesome? And I truly believe these brothers, these two high schoolers, as they were preaching the gospel before they went out, they probably were abiding in the Lord.
Amen.
They probably were having much time of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's read the first Roman numeral together.
We need to contact the Lord.
And here, we have a pop-up. How about we have the sisters, Ruth and Rosa, come up.
Amen.
You can just speak here on this mic here.
Hello, my name is Ruth.
And my name is Rosa, and I'm about to be a junior at UMass Boston.
And I'm about to be a sophomore at UMass Boston. So last year, at the beginning of the year, when I was a freshman, I met the saints at orientation, and they invited me to a barbecue. Now, I was scared of going to the barbecue because I didn't really know them, plus I didn't want to be lonely. So I decided to invite my friend that I just met in bio class.
And that friend was me. I met her in my bio class. And she was really nice and friendly, and she introduced herself to me, and suddenly she asked me for my number. I was shocked. I said, wow, this girl is really nice. And then we exchanged number, but at that time, I was going through a difficult time. But later on the same day, she contacted me and said, Rosa, do you want to go to a cookout with me? And in my heart, I said, oh, my God. This girl, man, she's good at talking to people. And I said, no, I don't want to go. I'm not in the mood right now for a cookout. And she said, oh, the people are nice. You would like them. And there would be free food. And I changed my mind. I said, okay, I'll go with you. But not because for the food, but because I wanted to be around people at that time. And I went there, and she was right. The sisters were really nice, and I even asked her if these people are angels. I felt good, and I felt really good around them, and they started to talk to me about the Bible, all this stuff. And I think Wolf invited me because she was alone, but I realized that God put her on my path so that he could bring me back to his church life. He used her so that he could just get me as a woman food. And here we are today in our first college training, pursuing God together.
Amen.
So Spring break, we went to Texas, and we both got baptized. And Rosa has been more than a friend to me. She's been a companion to be a remaining fruit. Yeah, so this is our experience of bearing fruit by contacting people directly, personally, and continually.
Yeah. Yes. Contacting people directly, personally, and continually. I also have a little experience. How about we read B before I share that? The reason why we bear fruit
is because we do not practice contacting people directly, personally, and continually.
It's very true. I just have to echo Falon in his sharing that when we, you know, it takes practice and it takes time and to learn how to contact people. And so, you know, there's different ways of preaching the gospel. And I would even say right now that, okay, if preaching the gospel sounds scary to you, just say, I'm going to talk to someone. Talk. But not just talk. You know, we know that we're talking to dispense the riches of Christ and to impart life into another person. And so also to talk, to dispense life, to preach the gospel, you can look at it as you're begetting a spiritual child. Don't we all want children? I mean, I think one day we all want, you know, our own, you know, human children, you know. You know, I do. I know I'm married, and, you know, I want a son, you know, I want a daughter, you know, one day. And so, you know, and so, but in the same way, the Lord wants us to bear spiritual children. And so the life that's in us, this is awesome. I thought this was amazing. The life that's in us, the divine life, the triune God, this person, when we speak to someone, we're imparting that very divine life, that very resurrection life, indestructible life, uncreated life, super life. We're imparting that life into another person. And when that person receives that life, they become, we just heard, right, last night, a child of God. They become a child of God, but they also become our child. They become our spiritual children. Isn't that the life that's in you gets into another person?
Amen.
That's the best feeling in the whole world.
Amen.
You know, it's awesome to speak to someone and get them out of the death waters and bring them to the living waters.
Amen.
That's the best feeling you can have in your entire life. I assure you. The more you flow out, the more you speak the gospel, and the more you impart this life into another person. Wow. Like Falon said the other day, wow. This is awesome. And so there's different ways, right? A lot of times our concept is we'll go and just, you know, like you said, we'll go and just give you a tract. You know, that's not bad. You know, that's kind of, you know, it can be a little... Like, the person on the other end is like, whoa, what are you doing? You know, like, calm down, you know, relax. The best, I don't know about the best way, but in my experience, what I like to do is I like to go up to someone and say, how's it going, bro? How you doing? And you ask them their major, what they're doing, are you working? You know, you get a little bit into their situation so that you can start up a conversation, and you can speak to them and enter into their situation, and you get to know them. But don't go too far. Like Falon said, the more you talk, then they're going to like, okay, what's going on here? Me and my, I would call him gospel partner, but we like to say, okay, the moment we're talking to them and they're listening to us, we're commanding, we're directing the conversation, we have to drop something to them, speak to them something that will infuse Christ into them. Something they've never heard before. And it's not, we're not preaching to them, but we're just sharing our enjoyment of Christ to them. And so we immediately say something, I don't know, on the lines of, do you know Christ wants to be eaten? What we just heard last night, Christ wants to be food to you? Whoa. You know, I assure you, many Christians do not know that Christ wants to be eaten. And the Lord Jesus is our food. Or that he's the living waters. And so this is a way, and maybe we can have a little mock run here on preaching the gospel. How about we have two other brothers? Justice, you and what's your name again, brother? Brian. Yeah, you have the same name. Just very short. Okay, you're the unbeliever. You're a Christian that doesn't know anything. You're just someone on campus, and you're a brother in the Lord. And you're going to go up to him, and you're going to speak to him. But you're going to just talk. Just go up to him.
Courses in finance and electrical engineering.
Cool. How's that going?
It's hard. It's rough. It's a rough time.
How do you get through that?
I don't know. I just kind of like eat a lot.
Kind of was like give you peace kind of thing.
Yeah,
okay. Right there. That's a good. He's like, I eat a lot, and immediately, okay, you have to quickly. I love eating too, bro.
Yeah.
I love eating the Lord. You know, you switch it. You turn the conversation quickly.
Pineapples, cool, man. I eat the Lord, brother. So what's weird with pineapple, brother? It's true, man. The Bible says that, man. He's rich to all those who call upon his name.
Amen.
By calling, we eat him.
Amen. Okay.
That's...
Right now, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So easy.
Amen. Okay, you can sit. That's good, brother. Okay, so a lot of times it's not that easy, you know. But it's very true. As soon as someone mentions something, maybe about eating, drinking, or any of their hobbies that they like to do, just turn it quickly. Turn it into something of the Lord and dispense Christ into them. Especially because a lot of times, you know, the students, they just, you guys know yourself, you have a short time, and your attention span just, you're gone, you're in Mars already. You know, if somebody's talking forever and just going on and on and on, it's just, Lord Jesus, quickly turn it, okay? So I'll share an example that, okay, every Friday, me and another brother, we have a time with some brothers, seven brothers, and we get into the Word, we go to their house. Or one of the, he lives near campus, and we go to his apartment, and they all go. And we just get into the Word. We just dive into the Word. But this particular Friday, we couldn't go into their home. And so we met on campus in a room. We had an amazing time. But afterwards, they all left, and me and this other brother, we had to go home. And we usually park pretty far from campus, and so we have to walk to our car. But that day was really cold. There was a lot of snow everywhere. And we did not want to walk. And so we're like, maybe we should just use Uber. I have the app. I don't use it much, but it's like, use Uber. And so I picked Uber Pool. And I did Uber. You know, Uber Pool is where you get into an Uber, this taxi for the older ones who do not know what Uber is. You know, it's like a taxi, you know, but you can get in with others who are just random people that you do not know. And so we get into this Uber, get into an Uber, and I see that there's this little like bubble on the side that somebody else is going to be in the car with us. And I'm just like, oh, who's that person? I don't know. This is my first time doing it. So we get into the car. The Uber arrives. I get in. And then this other brother, Gustavo, he gets in. And then I move all the way to the left. And then he stays at the other side on the right. But then this girl's running. He's like, hey, you know, I'm going. I need to catch my Uber. And we're like, oh, okay, go in the front. But she ends up coming in the back. And so we're... Gustavo's in the middle, like this. I'm by the window, and I'm also like, okay. And the whole way, I'm just like, this girl, she could have gone in the front, you know. What is she doing? I just don't understand. But maybe she's scared to sit next to the driver, but she prefers to sit next to us. And Gustavo, like, I don't know. And so I'm just there, confused. But since... we're in the car together, and we're stuck there. We just made some conversation, you know, some friendly conversation. We didn't say anything about this time we didn't say anything about the Lord, anything about what we do. We just got to she was just talking about, you know, her major, her studies, and we're just like, okay, we talked about our personal life, like our wives and this and that. And she's like, quickly put out that, you know, we're married, you know. You know, you know, so anyways, and so we're there just talking, and then we get out, and okay, nice to meet you. It was awesome. Bye. You know, and then it was a pleasant conversation. Okay, the next Bible study, I walk into the next Bible study on campus, and I see the girl sitting right there. And I walk in, and I'm just like, I know you. And she looks at me like, no, you don't. And it's like, okay, yes, I did. One thing, I never forget a face. And so if I see you once, I will not forget your face. I may forget your name, but I won't forget your face. And so the whole time I'm like, yes, you don't remember me? Uber in the car. Gustavo wasn't there yet. She's like, no. Okay. I go to my chair. I'm getting ready to sit down, getting my stuff, preparing for the Bible study. And the whole time I'm just thinking, I know that girl. I know I'm not going crazy. I know who she is. And her name just popped up. And I get up, right? I get up in front of everyone. You're Nayara. And she responds, oh my gosh. Anyways, the reason why she was there is because she saw our A-frame on campus. We have this big A-frame, and she saw it. But then she also told us that conversation that she had with us was very pleasant. And it was a normal conversation that we had with her. And she just, and then when she saw us at the Bible study, so after she realized who I was, and after seeing Gustavo, I was like, oh yeah, him. She was like, yes, these are the people I want to be with. You know, that conversation was very pleasant, and now the ministering of the word was very high and rich. And she was just like, yeah, these are the people I want to be with. And now she's in the home meetings. She's going to all the meetings, well, the home meetings mainly. She doesn't go to the table meeting yet, but she's really enjoying the Lord and coming in bit by bit. So it's awesome. There's different ways of preaching the gospel, but we just need to be abiding in the vine. Amen. And know when to speak in season and out of season. In an Uber or walking. You know, anywhere at work or at school. We just need to be ready. And so let's read point C together. To bring forth spiritual children, you must make a serious decision to contact people directly. And then D, we need to devote time to contacting people. And here we have a pop-up of Matt.
Amen. Yes, we need to devote time to contacting people. Just a little something. We currently at UMass Boston, we're doing Bible Reading Challenge, which is just an upperclassman is sort of paired with a freshman, and we're going to read the gospel. We're reading the Gospel of John throughout the summer. It's kind of weird because this is sort of, I don't want to say my first time, but like one of my first times shepherding like a young one, right? Like I'm a senior, and I have to shepherd this young one, right? Which means I need to abide in life, right? Because, you know, I can't, in a way, sort of like, just, you know, I'm not going to read my Bible today. You know, this young one is expecting me, like a text from me, right? He's expecting something from me to feed on, right? If I just, you know, go like, oh man, I'm just being late, you know, you just get lazy, right? Then how can I feed this young one, right? If I don't have life in me, how can I just, you know, give that to someone else, right? And even this issue of contacting, you know, when, you know, we're paired up with these young people, we have like a serving one in the group too. And you know, the serving ones are always good with like, you know, giving something or something like that, you know, and you know, it comes with, and this is just personal too, it comes with more weight when it's like another student talking to you, you know, when it's a serving one, their job. You know, this is what they do. In a way, you know, it's our job too. We should be serving ones too. You know, we don't need the name to be a serving one. We are all serving ones, right? But, you know, the serving ones, you know, they've been through more training, more of this, you know, and and, you know, I haven't, right? So they expect it from them. But when they expect it from me, whoa, it carries a little bit more weight. It really does, especially with this haircut. You know, it just carries a little bit more weight. So, yeah, and even, you know, even I've struggled with that. Sometimes, you know, this freshman team care of currently, one time I didn't text him for like 3 days. I just gave him nothing, and he wasn't going to text me back, you know, obviously. But, you know, yeah. just, you know, maybe I need to, you know, call him one day. And not just, like, just keep throwing, like, you know, Bible verses at him, but maybe just call him and be like, hey, man, I heard you got back from New Hampshire. How was that? Was that good? That was cool. Oh, what'd you do? Oh, that's cool, dude. Yeah, I've been to New Hampshire. I've been, you know. You know, it's you know, we need to be people too, right? We need to, you know, our God is personal and he's relatable, right? Right? He's relatable. That's why we're here, right? He was a human too. So, amen. We just need to abide, right? And we need to bear much fruit. And we need to keep that fruit. So, yeah.
Devote time. You know, it takes, when you have children, brothers can testify, when you have a child, it takes time. You know, it doesn't just all of a sudden they're a grown man.
Right.
It takes time. And so once you bear fruit, in my experience, once you have ones who are under your care, then it's constant. It's like what it says here in the title, directly, personally, and continually. It's for the rest of your life. You're going to always be caring for these ones. I remember caring for some white young people back home in Florida. And to this day, they still text me and call me. It's because I cared for them. And so to this day, they will never forget that care. Once you, because you're imparting not only the life of God into them, but also imparting our very souls into them. And so hopefully we're gaining more of the Lord so that our soul is transformed. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to take a simple way to bear remaining fruit. A. First, we should vow to support. Where's Ewan? Yeah. So, this is awesome. Yeah, come up. So Ewan can share his experience. You know, Ewan's a church kid. So church kids are awesome too. You can bear remaining fruit also with church kids. Right? And so he would just share his experience.
Okay. So yeah, I'm Ewan. I'm a junior at UMass Boston. And I'm just going to share my testimony. So yeah, I'm a church kid, I guess. I went to the meetings and everything, but, you know, I didn't really enjoy it, you know. I just went because, like, I wanted to please my parents, and yeah. But it was during my junior and senior year where I was having a really difficult time, and I really felt the godlessness in this age. And I felt like I was just surrounded by evil. But the one thing that I could always look forward to was Friday night. And that was home meeting night. And during this time, I just, you know, in our home meeting, we didn't really do too much. We just, you know, ate, sang a little, got into the Word a little, and then played games. And that was enough for me because, you know, I was a high schooler. I just needed to eat food, you know, sing a little, and then play games. That's all I do as a high schooler. yeah, so during this time, I knew I could always look forward to Friday night. And that really preserved me. And I would say that without the Friday night home meeting, I would definitely not be here. I would just be just another fruit, you know, not a remaining fruit, but just a fruit, you know, one that was swallowed up by the world. And I can just say, like, this brother, he just took the time to, you know, approach me, contact me directly, personally, and, you know, continually. Every week, he was faithful to ask me if I wanted to go to a home meeting. And I must say, I'm eternally grateful for what he has done.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Eternally grateful. Amen.
Just another testimony. I have so many testimonies here. I wrote them all down as, even when Falon was sharing, I was like, man, I have this one, I have this one. And I had time because this whole week, I was just... And so this is another testimony of contacting someone. And so this is when I was going to Lowell. So it was 45 minutes away from Boston. So I had to drive up to UMass Lowell. And I was walking there on campus, and I was just enjoying the Lord. And I see at a distance this really tall, really tall. He's 6'8". This really tall person. This man. I mean, he was a student. And he's just walking. He's just... And I can see him at a distance. And, you know, he looks tall, but not that tall until I step to him. And, you know, I'm not tall. And so I step to him and just like... And this is what I told him. I said, "You are a son of peace." And he looks down at me, and he says, "Yes." And then the rest is... Then we started meeting with him, right, Curtis? We started meeting with him in his dorm and reading the Bible. And to this day, even though I'm not going to Lowell, I still contact him and still, through the phone, shepherd him. Because he's hungry for the Word. And so, oh, Lord, time. So let's read B1, 2, and 3 together.
Second, in order to be fruit-bearing branches of Christ, we need to be revived by the Lord day by day. Holy Word for morning revival has been a help to the saints to be revived by the Lord every morning. The most effective way to live the Christian life is by having a vital, living, and active morning revival with the Lord.
We should get two verses.
Amen. C. Third, we need to practice personally
contacting people every week.
Just read the points too. Brothers 1, sisters 2, and so forth.
We should start by ourselves and then get a companion to labor with us.
We need to plan and schedule our times so that we can contact 2 or 3 individuals every week.
We should pray to the Lord to get a proper candidate for our labor, and that He may show us the vital ways to bring them to Him.
As we go out to contact people one by one, we will find out the proper way from the Lord. We will also find out the proper person to visit.
We should live on those with whom we are acquainted directly or indirectly. We can contact
Point 5 is really a key, and we have a pop-up here, but I just want to share something. It's really true. The Lord has placed us in certain environments, our family, our relatives, our classmates, and the Lord really wants us to share with these ones. And so I remember when I was in the training, this was my first term, I would call my best friend at least once a week and just talk to him. And he knew that I was in the training, and so. But I had a burden, you know. He grew up Catholic, and he, you know, doesn't really meet as a Catholic, you know, doesn't go to Mass or anything, but he believes in the Lord. But he wasn't sure of his salvation. And so one day on my break, I'm talking to him, and he's just asking me question after question after question. And guess what happens? I lead him to the Lord. And this was an awesome feeling because this is my best friend. You know, it's so good. Your friends really need the Lord. And this, and on the phone, I couldn't help it, but I was just in tears because I was just flowing out the riches of the Lord into my best friend. And he's there, and I just ask him, Ozzy, let's pray together. And he's like, okay, Brian. And he prays with me. And this was just awesome experience. And also another experience, this was when I was young. I was in junior high. And my grandparents, well, first it was my grandfather. He was sick, and he had cancer, and he was dying. And me, my relatives would go and visit him. And there in his bed, he also grew up Catholic. And his whole life, never wanted anything to do with so-called Christianity. And there he's in bed. And we're just singing to him. Constantly singing all the hymns, you know. And this was a week before he passed away. We start speaking to him concerning life. Speaking concerning life is a big deal. We speak to him concerning this divine life. And immediately, this life and this love changed the man. This love and life can change a man. And immediately, he has some beads, and he takes them off, and he throws them away. And he says, I want this. And he prayed and received the Lord. And he also got baptized. We couldn't, since, you know, he was sick, we couldn't dump him fully, but it's okay. We got some water and just put it on his head, sprinkle his head, and just we baptized him. So we believe he was baptized.
Amen.
And the same thing happened to my grandmother. Same thing. So you may think right now your friends or your relatives, they'll never be open. You're like, oh, they are hopeless. No, no. Even the last days of their life, they will know who to turn to.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Adonis, you want to share? Come on, bro.
Hello, everybody. My name is Adonis. I go to UMass Boston. My testimony today is that during fall semester, I was taking a class with a friend of mine. And right after the class, I was going to my Bible study. And at UMass Boston, we have Bible study during lunchtime. So every day after the class, my friend would invite me to have lunch with him. And I would tell him, no, I can't. I have my Bible study. But if you want, you can come with me. He would tell me, no, I'll see you after lunch. And this was the conversation we were having for like every day that we had that class. Until one day, I went to class. I was really, really hungry. I was just sitting there looking at the teacher. It was like, Adonis, what's wrong with you? I was like, no, I'm really, really hungry. I can't survive to the end of this class. He was like, me too. I can't survive. But at the end of the class, we were just walking, you know, to go to the cafeteria. When we got outside, he told me, okay, let's go to the cafeteria. I was like, no, I have to go to my Bible study. He told me, but you told me you were dying in the class. I was like, yeah, but I have to go to the Bible study first. I was like, why are you going there? Let go eat first, and then you go to your Bible study. And I told him, like, men shall not live on bread alone. and they told me, ever since you started going to your Bible study, you speak in the Bible. And I was like, yeah, but that's what's up. And it was like, come on, bro, let go. And if we eat, we can go eat, and after that, we go to your Bible study. I was like, bro, why do you want to go to the cafeteria while the real food is in the Bible study? It was like, I don't see you even saying. I was like, come on, bro. He's like, nah, we have to go eat first and go to your Bible study. I was like, how about we go to my Bible study, and after that, I will buy you lunch. He looked at me, was like, you buying me lunch? I was like, yeah, why not? He was like, I don't believe you. I was like, nah. I was like, I'll buy you lunch after that. He was like, no, let's write it down that you will buy me lunch after that. I was like, nah, you're wasting my time, let go. We're like, you buy me lunch? We're like, yeah. So when we're going there, we're just asking that question. Are you going to buy me lunch? I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy you lunch. Save your energy for what you hear in the Bible study. When we got there, that day we were covering a different part of a man, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And they were just sitting there, and they brought, Gustavo was sharing, and I was like, okay, let me check on that guy I just brought to see how he's doing. And I saw that he was paying attention. I was like, oh, that's good. And I was just saying that at the end of the Bible study, I introduced him to the serving ones, and I was leaving. And I saw him walking to Gustavo, and I started talking. And at the end, when he came to me, I was like, bro, how did you like it? He was like, wow. It's like that guy was talking directly to me. I was like, really? I was like, yeah, bro. I'm a sinner. I was like, yeah, I know you're a sinner. And I really need to change my life. Like, yeah, you better change your life. And it was like I was all wrong all this time. I was like, yeah, I've been telling you you're all wrong this time. And I asked him, so you coming with me next time? He was like, I don't know. I was like, no, bro, you know me. With me, it's yes or no. Tell me yes or no. He was like, I don't know. I was like, no, you're my brother. So I'll take it like a yes. Like, okay. So I kept on going to the cafeteria. I was like, and he was asking me a question about the Bible study I was telling him. And at the end, he shook my hand. He was like, thank you for bringing me there. And when we got to the cafeteria, instead of me buying lunch, he ended up buying me lunch. And I was just smiling. He was like, why are you smiling? I was like, no, I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, because I owe you lunch, so I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, I owe you lunch. And he got saved, and during our trip in Texas, he got baptized.
And he's still meeting to this day. It's awesome. And all he did was say a little thing about, I'm hungry too, but my real food is the Lord Jesus. And then he just said, come and see. That's all he did. Come and see. So let's read point D together.
Laborers who bring one or two to the church by the yearly. This should be the goal of our labor.
I just want to highlight that all this matter of remaining fruit, is we're not doing it alone, right? We're doing it corporately. And so we're branches in the vine, and we're all connected to one another. And so this matter of bearing fruit is a corporate matter. And just, there it is. I just never had, just a little bit more, I just never had the desperateness that I do today about this matter of bearing fruit and bearing fruit that would remain. When I moved to Boston, this is when actually my desire and this aspiration to bear fruit was stronger than any time in my whole life. Because I would get on the train, I would just see so many people. And there, I'm just sitting there, I'm just like, Lord, these people do not, maybe they know you, but a lot of them may not know you. And so walking around, you know, in Florida, I'm from Florida, I never walked, you know, it's too hot to walk. You know, drove everywhere. But in Boston, I would walk all the time, there's people everywhere. And so I just really picked up this burden of just contacting people. And so in John 15, I'll just end with this. In John 15, at the end, in verse 17, it says this. After it talks about bearing fruit and fruit should remain, it says, these things I command you that you may love one another. Amen. And so testimony is that we're all placed, we should aspire to be placed with others so that we could bear fruit. And it doesn't matter if someone's like you or not, just love them. And so there's a picture here to draw. So life is the source. Amen. Okay, life. Remember this. Life is the source. Amen. So write life up here. Life is the source. Love. Let's all say, love.
Love
is the condition. And then, fruit is the goal. And so we're all placed in, hopefully, you know, service groups or or just even on our campus, we're paired up with others. And so we need to be constantly touching the divine life.
Amen.
Moment by moment, we need to be touching the life. Having morning revival, fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters, but most importantly, fellowshipping with God, having time with Him.
Amen.
And then what would issue out is that we love the brothers. And we will have fellowship with the brothers.
Amen.
And that's the condition. We just love one another. It doesn't matter if someone takes a different way. Sometimes, in my team, someone may take a different way. I'm just like, Lord Jesus, I don't like it. I'm just like, what? What are you doing, brother? You know, sister? No, it's my way. But actually, no, it's the Lord's way. But we still love the brothers. So we still come to them in fellowship. Still, no matter, nothing between. Nothing between the Lord, the Savior, and nothing between us and the members of the body. And then what will issue out will be fruit. And that's the goal, fruit. But not only fruit, but fruit remain. Put a big R, remaining fruit. And this will take a lifetime. It could take a lifetime. But we just endeavor to go on and pursue. And we just, Lord, we just keep praying, keep fellowshipping, and that the Lord would keep us under the dispensing of the triune God. Amen. Let's all read the focus together.
We need to bear fruit by setting aside.